couple was in an open buggy. And I thought, now that is either craziness or faithfulness. I'm not sure what term, but I commend them. That's pretty amazing that they would be in an open buggy heading for church this morning. So it made me realize I have no excuses and whatever. But we're glad to be here and glad you're here. I will probably say more about the table in the morning service when perhaps some other folks are here. But for those of you who were not here yesterday, I will mention in very simplistic terms for the moment. At the table there, anything on the left side is available on a donation basis. We give a suggested figure, but you may or may not be able to afford that figure, so whatever you can give. Anything on the right side is free, and if you see something there that you like and you'd like more of them, if you'll let us know, we'll be glad to send them to you at no charge. There's some booklets there, gospel tracts, and some other things that are there. So that's all I'll say for the moment. Maybe in the morning I'll bring them, hold them up a little bit, and this is what this is, this is what this is. But in any event, we'll move forward. We had a good day yesterday. I enjoyed the fellowship with folks who were able to be here. And we have four messages in total, and I've simply given one word for each message. And yesterday we talked first about love, and then our second message was respect. Our message this morning is leadership. Our message in the morning service will be integrity. And what we're talking about, as Pastor has set and designed this, we're talking about the home, we're talking about heart, we're talking about family, we're talking about how to get it right, how to do it right. Because we are in a day when family is under attack in terrible ways from many sources. And we can't fix everything out there. What we can do by God's grace is to get it right in our life and our family. And that's almost enough of a challenge in itself. So that's our focus and intent. So take your Bible and turn, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 20. And I realize that probably nobody here this morning has children yet at home. Maybe you do. Some of this really focuses on that idea of the leadership, and leadership falls to dads. Leadership falls to men. But we'll talk about these things and trust the Lord to guide us, to impact us, and hopefully we can also impact others. So I'm going to read verse 20 of Proverbs 6, and then we'll pray. The writer says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that we can be together this morning, and we come seeking your blessing, because if we simply meet around the human experience, it will profit little. But if we can have your blessing and the work of your Spirit in our hearts and minds, then we know good things, wonderful things can be accomplished. And that's our desire, that you would minister to each one of us through your word, to challenge us, to convict us, to change us, to encourage us. And Father, we pray that we in turn might have impact on other people and certainly on family members. So we'll give you thanks now for what you will do. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Proverbs 6:20, what an interesting verse. It's directed to a child, to a son, and it says, "My son, you need to do two things. Keep thy father's commandment." Now, if a son is going to keep his father's commandment, that means his father has to give commandment. So what are commandments? Well, commandments are instructions as to how to live. You do this and you don't do that. And the son is told, now you keep, you obey, you guard your father's commandments. Dad should set standards for the home. But then he says this, forsake not the law of thy mother. We'll talk about what that law is in a moment. But notice that there is a distinction drawn between the father and the mother and the child's response. The child's response to the father, child's response to the mother, certain authority given to the father, certain authority given to the mother. So we want to acknowledge that and recognize that. The term law is an interesting term. It's rooted in a Hebrew term that means to point the finger. Now, you think about mom and mom's law, and you might get that idea of pointing the finger. I can remember my mom saying, do this, pick that up, put that over there. Do you have a mom like that? Maybe you were a mom like that. Maybe you are a mom like that. And mom has her laws, you know, and this is what you do, and this is what you don't do in my house. And I always say the wise father will also obey the law of the mother. But notice the distinction that is made. Now, go back with me to Proverbs chapter 1. And in chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now here there's a different term used of dad's responsibility and what he's supposed to be doing. Here it says, my son, hear the instruction. That term could be rendered the correction, the discipline that comes from your father. Hear that. But then for mom, her role here is not broadened. Her role is the same, forsake not the law of thy mother. So what I want us to think about is dad's role, dad's responsibility. And I realize that today more than ever, there are families where there is no father present. As a matter of fact, they tell us that up to 40% of children are growing up in a fatherless home today in our country. That's a tragedy. That's a terrible, terrible thing. I grew up in that setting. My folks were divorced when I was about 3 years old. I grew up without a dad. For a long time, I struggled with that, to be honest with you. Then as I got older and I kind of watched other dads, I got to the point of thinking, well, I'm glad I didn't have that dad. But then I also came to the scripture, and it was a blessing for me. And I give this because you may know families where there is no dad present. But God says this, he will be a father to the fatherless. And when that truth sank into my heart, that became very, very special to me. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father or my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's wonderful. It's great truth. And it's a message that you and I need to be able to give to families and to young people where there is no dad for whatever reason. There's no dad in that home. There is no dad present. And here, there's so much in the scripture about dad, and people feel like, well, where do I fit in? Where do my children fit in? Because there's not a man in our home. Well, here's where God steps in and says, and I encourage often moms with kids and no dad, you encourage your children with this truth. God will be a father to the fatherless. God will minister to them. God will step in a very wonderful way and care for them if you point them in his direction. So great truth, a lot of it in the scripture directed to the father and response to the father, but God steps in and says, if you don't have that situation, I will be there for you. And you and I need to know that because you know families, I'm sure, where a dad is not present for whatever reason. But we want to see some of this challenge that is given to the father, to the child. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." The idea of attending to no understanding means children should be encouraged to pay attention and to learn. Why? Verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Sometimes dad has laws too. But here is a dad who says to his children, "I give you good doctrine. I give you good teaching." Now, I want you to think about your own experience. And again, our children are grown up and yours growing up out of the home. But here's a father who says to his children, "I give you good doctrine. I give you good teaching." And today, more than ever, men need to understand that they're supposed to be the teachers. They're the ones who are supposed to instruct their children and teach their children how to live. And unfortunately, many times, fathers don't do that. Sometimes they'll leave it to mom to do it. Sometimes it doesn't get done at all. But fathers are supposed to be the teachers of their children. And the term doctrine here is a broad term. It's all kinds of teaching, but it is certainly the teaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Scriptures and the teaching of how to live. That's dads. That's our role. I give you good doctrine. I would often say to fathers, and I do say to fathers, you know, if your child has a question about the Bible or a question about God, your child should be able to come to you. And you may not have all the answer, but I would often say, but please don't send your child to the pastor. No offense, pastor. Don't send your child to the pastor. Well, go ask the pastor or go ask the youth director. No. Dad, you find out. You go talk to the pastor if you need to. You get the answer so that you can come back and minister to your children and be the teacher, be the instructor. So look at verse 3. This father is giving a testimony about his father. He says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also." So here's a father talking to his son, talking about his father, and you see the generational experience. And this father says of his father, "He taught me. And he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." That was a great father, that he could say that to his children. "I have taught you. I have instructed you. And if you'll listen and you'll learn," he said, you'll learn how to live. "You will prosper from my teaching." Unfortunately, that kind of home is rare. It really is. That's rare, where a dad understands his responsibility, where he can say to his children, "I have taught you, and if you'll listen and if you'll learn from what I've taught you, you will live, you will prosper, you will get wisdom, you will get understanding." And when I think about that, I question, where are our children getting their standards today? Where are they getting them? Are they getting them from the television set? Are they getting them from schools that are being corrupted? Are they getting it from their phone and whatever information they're gathering from that? Where are they getting their standards and values? Who is teaching them? Who is teaching them the simple things of kindness and manners and decency? How to talk to somebody? How to handle money? How to handle problems? How to deal with people? Are children being taught those things, or are they simply being left to themselves and getting their standards from their peers. Fathers. Fathers often fail. And fathers have great responsibility. A man is out, he's earning his way, he's trying to pay the bills, whatever. But you know what matters? What matters is what goes on in our home and what goes on between a father and his children. And so this testimony, extremely powerful and convicting. Jump down to verse 11. Actually, verse 10, we'll start there. This father says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." You know, today, young people's lives are being destroyed early. How many young people today are being killed through drug use? How many young people today are taking their own lives? You know that suicide in this country is at the highest level it's ever been. And it is generally among young men. If you broke down into segments, young men. Where is the family structure? Where is the father? Here's a man who says, "Hear, my son, receive my sayings. The years of thy life shall be many." In other words, he's going to teach the young people how to live, how to do right things, how to avoid the wrong things, how to avoid the destructive things. And then verse 11, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." What's wisdom? Wisdom is something that every single one of us should pray for. And if you don't do that and you have not done that, I encourage you to do it now. Solomon, when God told him to ask for what he wanted, Solomon was already wise enough to say, "Wisdom. Wisdom." What is it? Wisdom is the ability to see things as they really are. As they really are. And you and I struggle with that. I struggle with that. Because we tend to see things based on our experience, based on our preconceived ideas, based on our emotions. We see things from our point of view. You ever hear that statement? You know, that's your point of view. What's that mean? Well, if I used my brother as an example and I held up my Bible and I said to him, "What do you see?" Well, he would describe to me the back of my Bible. He'd say, "I see your Bible and I see the black cover." And I'd say, "Well, wait a minute, I'm looking at the same book that you're looking at, but that's not what I see because I see it this way. I see writing on a white page, same book, but what? A different point of view. He's at his point, I'm at my point. We're looking at the same thing, but we are seeing it differently. And in reality, only if I took his point of view into consideration and kind of coupled it with mine would I get the full picture. But here's a father who is saying to his children, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom." And my question is, where is that dad? Where is that dad today? I think he's missing. I think kids are growing up even when there is a dad in the home. And nobody is there to minister to them and to teach them how much they are left to themselves. Now again, that may not be the situation you're in, nor is it the situation I'm in right now. My kids are growing up, your kids are growing up. But may God give us the opportunity to have impact on our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and other people's children, because our society is collapsing. And the family is the basic unit of society. If the family falls, then ultimately the whole system will fall. And that's where we are today. Jump down to verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Do you have any sayings? You ever go back to your dad or your grandfather, and you know, one of those, you know, my father used to say, you know, my grandfather used to say, and what they said was some nugget of wisdom, you know, some nugget of truth. And here's a father who's saying, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say with confidence to our children, I will teach you how to live. I'm going to teach you how to live. I'm going to teach you how to live right. And if you'll listen to me, you'll profit from it. Again, where is that dad? He's missing in so many homes today. And whatever influence you and I can have on young fathers, and again, our own children, grandchildren, it can bless them and help them for all their years here on this earth. Turn with me to another passage, Psalm 103. And it is a passage that is extremely convicting to me. Psalm 103, we'll start in verse 8 to get us in the context of what's being said. Psalm 103 and verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. It's a wonderful God we serve, isn't it? That's our God. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What a wonderful God. Now watch what is said in verse 13. Again, to me, one of the most challenging and convicting verses in the scripture. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So we're introduced to a father. A father who, the term is, pitieth his children. Now, pitieth doesn't mean like you feel sorry, oh, I pity you. It's not that. The term pity here speaks of understanding and compassion. So we're introduced to a father who has understanding and compassion toward his children. Children are not easy to understand, are they? We had five, every one of them different. Everyone different, everyone unique. Different abilities, different interests. Some are athletic, some are not. Some can get A's, some can only get C's. Some can play an instrument, some can't. Some can sing, some whatever. Some are a little more ornery than the others. They're all different, everyone unique. And you and I have to make sure that we single them out. Just don't talk, oh yeah, I have five kids. No, they're all different. It's him, it's her, it's him, it's her. But here is a father that we're introduced to who pities his children. He understands his children. And with that understanding comes compassion. He grasps their strengths and their weaknesses and their needs and their struggles. Great father. Now watch what it goes on to say. like as a father pitieth his children. So the challenge is this. Think about how a father treats his children with understanding and compassion. Because there is a lesson in that about God. And that's the point I want us to think about. The scripture is paralleling a father with God. So it says, as a father pities his children, here's what you can count on about the Lord. And the reason this is important is because you can't see God, I can't see God, our children can't see God. How are they going to learn about God? What's God like? So he says, well, here's what you can count on. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. So what's the lesson? The lesson is our children learn about God based on how their father treats them. Now think about that. So I come to a child and I say, I want to tell you something. You know how your father treats you? Yeah. Well, that's the way God is. And a lot of kids will say, really? Are you telling me that God is like my father? Because if God is like my father, I don't know if I'm interested in God. But that's what's being taught here. On the other hand, if a father really gets it, and he's ministering to his children properly, and you can say, do you know how your daddy understands you and your daddy has compassion toward you? Yeah, that's what God is like. Well, if that's what God is like, then I want to know him. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. But we're going to see it in another place. The scripture lets us know that children have a right to get a view of God based on their father. Now, I've failed in that area. And probably everyone here is a father. We fail in that area. And sometimes there are some fathers who really need to go back to their children and say, you know what? I messed up, boy. When you were growing up, I didn't do it right. Because too many times kids grow up in homes that are involved in churches like this, and when they get of an age where they make their choices, they walk away. You know that. That's a tragedy. I hope it's not true in your family, but it's true in too many families. Kids get to that age of adulthood and they're gone. They're not in church. They're not serving God. They're not walking with God. Why? What happened? We have to seek to become the greatest influence on our children. And I want you to know that sometimes we parallel. Am I okay for time, Pastor? What time? Am I good? Okay. Sometimes we parallel authority and influence. I want you to think of the two. Because we as parents have the opportunity to exercise both. Authority. Authority is very, very powerful when the children are little, right? Sit, stand, eat, go, don't go, what? A lot of authority. But as we all know, authority diminishes with time. And we actually have less and less and less authority as our children grow up. And eventually they get to the point where we don't have any authority over them, right? And we would be foolish to try to exercise authority over them. Now, my kids are all grandparents now. It would be ridiculous for me to go to them and say, now, look, here's what you need to do. Dad, I hope they wouldn't put it this way, but Dad, you have no authority over me. I'd never put myself in that place, but that's what they could say. You don't have any authority over me. And I don't. Some parents foolishly try to continue authority even when the kids are grown up. Don't do it. But you know what you and I do have? Influence. And influence ultimately is more powerful than authority. Influence comes early into a child's life. Thankfully, we have authority. But our children come under influence under many people. They're friends. Our friends, oh, your father is mean. Oh, your parents, they don't let you do anything. And, really? Are my parents mean? I don't know. And then they have the influence of the TV. They have the influence of relatives. They have all kinds of influence in their life. And here we are exercising our authority, but it's gradually diminishing, and the influence in their life is becoming greater and greater and greater. And ultimately, influence will win. And that is why we, as parents, have to be the greatest human influence on our children. That means they have to see in us reality. They have to see in us genuine Christianity. They have to see in us understanding and compassion, so that when they get out from under our authority, they're still calling us and contacting us and asking for advice and asking for opinion and asking for prayer. Because influence, again, ultimately wins the day. So what a picture this is. Children get a picture of God by watching their father. I want you to see that emphasized in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, the Lord Jesus is teaching His disciples, and He is going to instruct them with regard to prayer. And here's what He says. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then I want you to get this picture, if you can focus on this. The Lord Jesus is talking to a fairly large group of people. Initially His disciples, and then many, many came. He's talking to a whole lot of people, and He pauses talking about prayer to say this in verse 9. He says, or what man is there of you? Now, how many men are among us this morning? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Back in the sound room, 8 or so. Okay. So the Lord Jesus would say this. Now, how many men, or what man is there among you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Well, I think the answer expected was no. And that's the answer we would expect among us, right? Well, no, if my son asked me for bread, I'm not going to give him a stone. Well, he expanded it, verse 10. Well, if your son asked for a fish, what man among you would give him a serpent? Obvious answer. Well, nobody. Would you do that? No, of course not. So verse 11. If ye then, being evil, we are. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Child, what's God like? I can't see God. What's God like? Father, I'll tell you what God's like. Do you know how when you come to me with needs and I minister to your needs? Yeah? You know how I give you good things? I don't give you bad things if you ask, but I give you good things. Yeah? Well, son, that's what God's like. You can get a picture of God through your dad. That's God's plan. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus is trying to say here in verse 11. If you, us men, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, let me tell you about God. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I want to tell you that's very, very powerful truth. Both from Psalm 103 and this passage, fathers having impact on their children so their children can learn about God who they can't see from their daddy who they can see. Well, if you and I or any father gives a false picture of God to our children, and they say, well, if that's what God's like, that's, you know, if God's like my father, I'm not interested. There's a lot of that. Woe unto us if we are phony, hypocritical, unloving. Woe unto us. You and I can fool a lot of people, but I think we all know this. You'll never fool your own children. Never fool your own children. Other people might only see us at our best. Here we come into church and for the most part, we're going to show our best to one another, right? Sure. But our children see us here. And our children see us in the times of pressure, and difficulty, and struggle, and tension. And our kids know. Is my dad real? My mom real? They know. And if we aren't real, if we aren't genuine, then we will become their excuse for turning away from the Lord. What a challenge. What a challenge. One more passage. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul had ministered to people in Thessalonica, and out of his ministry, a church was started. And as you know, he wrote two letters to the church at Thessalonica. And we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Here's what he says to these people. He says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. That was a strong statement from Paul. He was saying to those people, you people know that when we were with you, we lived holy, we lived righteously, we lived unblameably. You know how we lived when we were with you. That's about a powerful statement. And then he says in verse 11, as you know how we, three things, exhorted you, comforted, and charged every one of you. We did three things. We exhorted, comforted, and charged, and then he throws this in. Here it is. As a father doth his children. Paul says, we treated you the way a father treats his children. Wow. How does a father treat his children, according to Paul? Well, according to Paul here, he does three things. The father exhorts his children, he comforts his children, he charges his children. Exhort, very positive term. Encouragement, urging on, being with them. That's a father. You can do it. I'll be there with you. I'll be there for you. I'm rooting for you. You can accomplish it. You can play the game. You can pass the test. You can whatever. The cheerleader, that's dad. I used to say to fathers and still do, you know something? When your kids are involved in things, you got to be there. You got to be there. When I was a pastor in Westchester, I coached basketball for a few years. And sometimes I saw kids whose parents never showed up. Never showed up. And I know we have busy schedules, but I've learned this through life. Ultimately, you do what you want to do. And I know this, if some of those parents had wanted to get there, they'd have found a way to get there. And I remember one boy came in one time, he said, "Pastor, my dad's coming tonight, my dad's coming tonight." And then as the game is going on, I'd see him looking up in the stand, looking up in the stand. His dad never showed up. You and I have to be there. I tease about when our kids were little and they played piano, you know, they took lessons. And then back then they had these recitals. Maybe they still do today. You know, the recital, the piano recital. Well, you know what? You got to go. And back then you went like this. You know, you didn't walk in with your dirty shorts and sneakers on. This is it, man. You went there and you sat down and here's the piano recital. And finally it's time for your little girl to play. And after all that you've gone through to get there, she goes up, sits down. Plunkety plunk, plunk, plunk. Walks away. Like, that's it. That's it. I came like this. All this time for that. Yeah, we've been there. But you know what? You got to be there. You got to be there. That's this. This is the Father. The exhorter. The urger. The challenger. You can do it. Got to be there. But then Dad is also the comforter. The word comfort here is a translation of a word that means soft speech. It's a whisper. And you know, the whisper of comfort. And that's the word that says, "That's okay. It's okay. So you made a mistake. It's okay. So you didn't get the A. That's okay. You didn't make the team. That's okay. Because I love you for you." The comforter. That's got to be Dad. That's what Paul's saying. "I exhorted you like a father to his children, and I comforted you." And then he says this, "and I charged you." And that's a term that means to summon as a witness. Summon as a witness. And here's a dad to his children. You know this. You know how your daddy lives. You know your daddy doesn't yell. You know your daddy never uses bad language. You know your daddy doesn't lose his temper. You know what your daddy is like. And knowing that your daddy doesn't do those things, that's why you can't do those things. You know I'm genuine. You might not use that term per se, but that's the idea. The child says, "Yeah, that's my dad." That's what wins kids. That's what gets kids to the point where they say, "You know, I want to be like that. I want to be like my dad. I want to be like my mom. I want to be faithful. I see their life. I see God's blessing in their life. That's who I want to be." Well, folks, I want to tell you, that's missing today. In too many places, too many families, this instruction, this role of the dad is just missing. That's who you and I have to be. And again, we're all, I assume, beyond the stage. Sorry, Pastor, I'm running late now. We're beyond the stage of having our little ones there. But, you know, I assume some of us have grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren. Or you might have that child, and again, you might need to go back and say, "You know what, son, I love you, but I know this, I didn't do it right. Or I didn't do it the best way." But family is everything. Family is everything. When Trisha and I were in the pastorate, we said, if we can win other people, we will, but by the grace of God, we're not going to lose our own family. Not worth it if you do. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction we get from it. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for its truth. And I pray you'd use it in our lives today. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, folks.